Let us turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. As we continue looking at the birth of our Lord, we come to Matthew chapter 2 and the wise men from the east. So let us hear together God's word, the first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born, who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, that they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at this passage of God's Word, we have to realize one of the big events surrounding the coming of our Savior was that there was a star, which was so obvious that it was seen in the east. And we might ask ourselves, where do we think the east is? Are we talking China? That area of the world? No. I think the east would have been Babylon. We have to realize that that is a significant distance east of where Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah. It seems that Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, were going to stay in Bethlehem. We have that in the next verses following. They had to be sent out of there, and then they go to Nazareth, not because of family, but they went to Nazareth because there was danger in Bethlehem against Jesus. And so, the star shone forth in the heaven for all to see. And yet, what's so interesting is that the people of Judah didn't pay any attention. These wise men from the east were very wondrous of what this star was, so much that they came and they worshipped the Savior. But the people of the land of Judah, yeah, probably over there. No big deal. We live in a world which we can sing Christmas carols that display so beautifully the wonder of the coming of our Savior. We have this celebration every year. And yet many people will not bow the knee before the Savior. And we have to see in this passage not only just the wise men who came, but we see the people, the rulers of Judah, those who were supposed to be waiting for the coming of the Savior, and their total indifference to the wonder of what was going on, the wonder of the coming of the Son of God into this world. Jesus said on Palm Sunday, if these keep silent, the rocks will cry out. And brothers and sisters, the star cried out. There is a Savior born. The world cries out that there is salvation. And yet many people will not bow themselves because we want to be the ruler of our own lives and the masters of our own fate. We want to do it our way. God doesn't do it our way. We are called to bow ourselves before the Savior, to submit ourselves to Him, because the will of God is good. God is gracious. God provides not only good on this earth, though mixed with, as the Catechism puts it, a veil of tears, yet God gives to us eternal joy, eternal life, such as we cannot even begin to imagine through faith in Him. As I was considering what to preach on a communion Lord's Day, I said, wise men? Not really the first thing I think of when I think of combining the coming of our Savior and the Lord's Supper. And yet we need to know that we are part of a communion, we are part of a fellowship as Christians from all times and all places where the church is, all believers. And we are part of one communion. We see in this world the church split up between denominations here, there, and everywhere. And that needs to make us sad, because it is because of the brokenness, the sinfulness of us as human beings. Not that I'm saying throw away those dividing lines, but I am saying that because we disagree in major points about what the Bible teaches, we on this earth follow after the pattern of Paul and Silas and those in the first century church and say there are certain things that are necessary for us to be divided about. And yet, finally, we are one church, one communion together with all believers. And we are called to see that, especially as we consider that God sent this star to bring the news of the Savior, not just in the little land by Bethlehem, but to the whole world. The gospel is for all people, the good news that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you confess your sins, you will be saved. And that is one gospel for all nations, for all peoples. And it is the gospel that we need as well to bring to the world today that is so divided. And so as we look at this passage of God's Word, the theme that we want to see is the Savior's birth is hidden from Herod the king, but revealed in the stars. The Savior's birth is hidden from Herod the king, but has been revealed in the stars. In verses 1 through 4, we see that the wise men ask the ruler where to find the newborn king. In verses 5 through 8, we see that the king inquires where the Messiah was to be born. And verses 9 through 12, we see that God guides the wise men to the Messiah. So the Savior's birth is hidden from the Jewish leaders, from the leaders of the church at that time, but has been revealed in the stars. The wise men ask the ruler, where do you go? There's a king born. You go to the palace, right? Duh. But there was no baby in the palace. There was no king in the palace. The wise men from Babylon. Jerusalem now is about 3 miles from Bethlehem. We're not talking big distances. And yet, what do we read about the wise men when they came to Bethlehem? It didn't just identify Bethlehem. It identified the individual house where Jesus and his parents were at. So you think from 3 miles away you might have been able to figure that out? You think. And yet, these people, especially Herod and the rulers, were so stuck in their own ideas that they could not open their mind far enough to see the glory of the coming of the Savior. There had been angel choruses. No. The news was spread throughout the land. No. This is not hidden. We live in a culture, while we do not have the exact same things going on, we live in a culture that has Christmas. And there is great witness, and yet, what do people say? Nope. Not going to believe it. Going to do anything else. The star in the heavens demonstrates the universality of the importance of the coming of Christ. The gospel is not just for us, it is for all people. The good news of salvation is the most important news in the history of the world. And God's celebration is beyond even an angel chorus. It was there for the whole world to see. The Magi, they're not kings, they're wise men. And if we look throughout the scriptures, we see them a few times. We see in Esther the wise men. We see in Daniel. Daniel was a wise man, as well as Moses in Egypt, was trained up in the wisdom of Egypt. They were well-trained people for the service of their country. We read in Daniel 2, verse 48, then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Now the reason I'm very certain that these wise men came from Babylon is that Daniel was the history there. If you think about Daniel and the things he did, they knew what had happened. Yes, this was years earlier, but when you think about wise men, what are they going to study? The guys who could do it. Well, guess what? Daniel could do it. Daniel revealed dreams. Well, God did, of course, and he says that very clearly. He did not take the credit. And so these wise men see the star in the east. This was not a hidden phenomenon. And they came to worship him. Remember the prophecies of Daniel, his interaction with Nebuchadnezzar, that Christ was going to come. Daniel prophesies that. That though Nebuchadnezzar sees the picture of the image with feet of clay and iron, with legs of clay, and you go up and through, head of gold, the stone cut without hands out of the mountain that destroyed the image and came and filled the whole earth. That is a reference very directly to the coming of the Savior. That His kingdom will fill the whole earth. And we have historical evidence of numbers of astrological events at the time and in the right area. We don't know which one. In fact, one has been somewhat identified, which tells us that our calendar system is off a couple of years, because the most probable event happened a couple of years before where our calendar would call zero. Not important. Somebody about, what was that, 1,200 years later, set up our calendar. You think they got it right? But it remains the most important event in history. The Son of God came into this world to save sinners. And God is the creator of the stars. It's no big deal for Him to set up a star that was very obvious. Who knows what exactly it was? Could have been a comet. But God says it's a star, so what do we think? Duh. Probably a star. Let's not get in with all these people who think, well, I need to get behind the Bible and figure out what's going on here. God sets these things up, and God is the Creator. He can do what He wants, and He does what He wills in the heavens and the earth, the Bible tells us. Yet, they come to King Herod, and they say, obviously there's a king born, let's see, where is he at? We're going to give him gifts, we're going to celebrate. But King Herod didn't know. The king of the Jews, King Herod, by the way, is of Israelite background. He should have been looking for the Messiah, trusting in the Messiah. But what? He realizes, hey, this king is a king, but he's not of my family. And instead of being excited at the coming of the Savior, he became jealous. What does he do? He sends out and kills the babies in Bethlehem. Politicians then, as well as today, are more worried about keeping their power than anything else. That's not a good thing. And so, he directly asks the religious leaders what? Now, first of all of Jerusalem was puzzled. But he asks the religious leaders, where is the Messiah to be born? A direct admission that this is the coming of the Messiah. Where is the Christ to be born? He asks the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, and they point to Bethlehem. They know the prophecies. And right away, the truth that Jesus is the Christ is confirmed to the earthly king and to the Jewish leaders, yet they would not accept him. Now, there's two sides of this. Some people will not believe, no matter what the evidence we can place in front of them. But people with earthly power are often resistant to believing in God, to whom they have to answer. We have to answer to God. That means I can't do it the way I want to. I have to live the way God tells me to. Guess what? There's an awful lot of people who, as Romans 1 says, press down the truth in unrighteousness. I don't want to live that way, so I'm going to say no, no, no. Evolution, Big Bang, those things. Then I don't have to answer to God. Well, I'm sorry. God is the creator of the world. God is our judge at the end. And God is the Savior of those who believe on Him. Reading in Matthew 26:59, these people who had had this witness among many others, now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put Him to death. Wow! How hardened. And yet the same is true today, and the same is easily true of us. We need to bow ourselves before this King of the universe. And so the king inquires. They look to the scriptures. Ever notice that people want to use the Bible but not be subject to it? Here, we can say this prophecy or that or come up with this dumb idea. You realize that some of the tactics we still use today in our military come out of the Bible? They study the Bible. Now, they don't want to very much anymore, but this was historically how war tactics, some of them were teased out of the scriptures. When archaeologists want to find things in the Holy Land, they have to use the Bible. They try to use all of these other texts that they find. They can't find anything. But the Jewish Antiquities Society hates that. And again, what's science? When people do it in the service of God, and look throughout history, how many people did that? Then it is when it makes its best discoveries. And when we serve other things, it is confused. And we don't know which end of us is up. The further we get away from the Bible, the more futile our work becomes. We need to realize that. And yet people don't want to be bogged down by biblical morality, where God says things that are not popular, that God created them male and female, that God is the one who's going to end the world, not global warming, and so many other things. When we have problems in our lives, perhaps the best place we could go is back to the Bible. The Bible has sufficient answers for all of our spiritual needs. And yet we live in a culture where psychology, by the way, study of the soul is what psychology means, And yet they don't believe in a soul. And they like to push drugs. When God's Word has the answers we need. So the king inquires, and they look to the Scriptures, even though they don't want to. And what they see aligns with the prophecy of the birth of the Savior. We read in verse 6, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people Israel." And the wise men are sent there. This is an acknowledgement by the king that this baby is the Savior, the Messiah. And yet what does Herod purpose to do? Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me. And he lies, that I may come and worship him also." And if we read the rest of the passage, which we will look at, Lord willing, in coming weeks, he rather was desirous to kill the Savior. He secretly determined from them what time the star had appeared. He desires word concerning the child. Note that if he had done this in full view of the Sanhedrin, they probably would have revolted against him, even though they wouldn't worship the Christ either. Now, if we look in these latter verses, he killed all the children who were under the age of 2. Does this mean that Jesus was 2 years old by this point? No. But it means that possibly the star had appeared for up to 2 years before this point. That this was not something that was uncertain, that was just happening in the last few days. But he would rather kill the Lord of glory than let go of his authority. And we as human beings need to let go of our authority to say, "I am not important, God is important." And note the following verses, that God sends the family to Egypt to avoid the murderous desires of Herod. God protected the child, our Savior, from the danger of death from a jealous king. And God knows what's in our hearts even before we do it. And God guides the wise men to the Messiah. The star continues to lead. The same thing, we read that the star led them. He sent them to Bethlehem. They departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. God led them by the star. We need to stand in awe of how God announces the birth of His Son. Yes, it is a small thing for God to make an astrological sign of the birth of His Son. Yet these Chaldeans, these Magi, these wise men realize that this star signifies an important event in the history of the world. And they travel long distances to see Him. And yet the rulers of the Jews wouldn't walk 3 miles. Reading about stars, going back to the creation, Genesis 1, 14 and 15, "Then God said, 'Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth.' And it was so." Note this two words. Let them be for signs and seasons. God didn't spend a lot of time making signs in the heavens, but this time He does. And by the way, seasons speaks of the Old Testament feasts. That's why we have our Lord's Supper at the seasons, at the events parallel actually to the Old Testament feasts. Because they celebrated the feasts in celebration, looking forward to the coming of the Savior 4 times a year, approximately 3 times earlier on in Israel's history. And we celebrate the Lord's Supper then. We seek to approximately 3 to 4 times a year. And they bring gifts. They worship Him. They fell down before Him and worshiped Him. Hebrews 1, verse 6, "But when He brings the firstborn into the world, He says, 'Let all the angels of God worship Him.' All people are called to worship, even the angels of heaven, even though there's no salvation for the angels, because they either fell or they did not. Yet God calls for all of the angels of the heavens to worship Him. And they bring these gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, expensive gifts, kingly gifts, to a very humble place to celebrate the birth of the King of Glory. God didn't send Jesus into the world into king's houses. The second person of the Trinity, God, was born of a virgin in the most humble conditions of the humble. Because Jesus humbled Himself. The second person of the Trinity humbled Himself to become one of us, to save us from the judgment which we deserve. Now there's the old idea, and this is where it comes from, that there were three wise men, the gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The Bible never says that. All we know that there was that there were three gifts. And we know that there were more than one wise man, because we have wise men. That's the only knowledge we have of that. So Christ came into this world, and He was warned to go back. Then these wise men were warned to go back another way. God prevents them from bringing this information to Herod, the information that he needed to identify Jesus. He brings this information in a dream. Remember that dreams had been interpreted by Daniel. And remember the dreams that Daniel had. And as I said, I'm certain Daniel had not been forgotten in Babylon in the east. So as we look at this passage, we see that God directs human events to show the glory of the event of the birth of His Son, our Savior. Christ came into this world in a humble place. Yet, it was accompanied by even the coming of the gifts for King. Because He is a King. He is the King of Glory. And we see this honored by God in the heavens. We see this honored even by foreigners who recognize the weight of this event that was shown in the stars. And yet it was not honored by those who should have realized how awesome this is. And so, brothers and sisters, how do we respond to the coming of our Savior? Do we respond just with, oh yeah, another day on the calendar? Do we respond by getting caught up by the commercialism of our culture? Or do we, as we ought, truly come, bow ourselves before Him in worship, that He truly is the Lord, God, Emmanuel, God with us, come into this world to save sinners who believe on Him, and that then we give all of our lives in thanksgiving for the awesome gift of God. Yes, we give gifts at Christmas, because we give gifts in echo of the gift God gave, the gift of salvation, by giving His Son. Amen. Let us bow our heads in our hearts before God's throne of grace and prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have given the most important gift, the gift of salvation, the gift of reconciliation with You. And we pray, Lord, that we would echo that gift not only to those of our close friends, but that we would be ready with that gift for those who need Your gospel. In this world that hides its head from the truth of the gospel by singing about Santa Claus, instead of singing about the Savior who is Christ the Lord. We pray, Lord, help us to be witnesses to that awesome gift Help us, Lord, to witness even in this time in which people are so distanced from one another, that Jesus Christ came into this world, that He is truly the reason we have this celebration, and that He did not come just to be a baby, but that He came into this world to give His life a ransom for sinners. And so, Lord, we come before You to give glory to Christ, to lift high His name. And we pray these things in His name, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.